Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
So anybody mad? Anybody surprised? I might decide that the Jets are going to win this game on Sunday. We welcome you into the playbook for Thursday, Prediction Thursday, on Patriots Playbook, Patriots.com Radio. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. My apologies for missing out yesterday. I did warn everybody on Tuesday that I would be taking the train back yesterday from New York itself. Not for anything Jets or even Giants related yesterday, but Big East Basketball Media Day.
Did you sense any sort of energy in the city related to the game?
No, none at all. None at all. I did see, you know, I guess the thing that caught me odd, because I did walk the 25 blocks from the New York Athletic Club where I was yesterday and Penn Station when I took the train home. Great walk yesterday, too. Super walk in the city.
Weather
was perfect.
50s block?
The 58th. 58th and 7th is where I was.
33rd is
33rd and
Penn
7th
Station,
is where
right?
Penn Station yeah. is. And so I walked the 25 blocks, and I have to admit, I did not see one Giants-related bit of paraphernalia. Not one. But I saw a half a dozen guys wearing Jets jackets.
Really?
Yes. So, I don't know what to tell you. I was a little surprised by that because the Giants clearly are, you know, oh, they're the team of the week after beating the crap out of San Francisco this past week. Maybe it's because it's Patriots week for them. I don't know. I tend to doubt it. But I was a little surprised by that, and especially with the fact that, you know, the Jets have not had, shall we say, an exemplary year to this point in time. But they find themselves with exactly the same record as your New England Patriots at 3-3. And so I don't know whether or not that's a more of an indictment on the Jets' ability to struggle and stay alive, or if it's an indictment on the inability of the Patriots to achieve as we believe they should.
You like
that?
Curious.
You like that Zen question?
Yeah, there? Yeah.
Well, I'll answer it then.
Well,
damn it. What do you think?
I think the Patriots are a better team than 3-3.
I tend to agree.
I think they're a better team than what they showed in three losses. And you know, they've only lost by a combined 4 points. 2 points, 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells me they're very close. They're better than they were last year defensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think even offensively, they're a better team than they were last year. And do you remember last year how many games they had lost by midseason?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
They had lost two.
Three.
Was it three?
Yep.
By midseason?
They lost as many games as they were going to lose in the regular season by midseason.
See, how soon we forget.
Yeah, and they went on a roll second half of the year.
So you're telling me that this team is setting itself up similarly to last year?
Yeah, and I think they're in a better position now because, like last year, they lost two in a row at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost a game that they probably felt like they should have won. And that's exactly what's happened this year so far. But they're closer than they were last year. I know the secondary is still a problem, to say the least.
Yeah.
But they're getting pressure more consistently. And the secondary, while they got beat in very crucial times of the game in Seattle, they're not getting blown out coverage-wise like they used to.
Okay.
I see reasons to be optimistic about this team and this defense.
All right. Well, let me tell you why I said, you know, Jets to win it. And by the way, I'm not entirely certain I'm going to stick with that. And the reason I hedge
you
on that.
Can be talked out of it?
I can be talked out of it. And you're beginning to do that. But I am very much subscribing to a show me type of scenario. I have not seen anything from the Patriots this year that has shown me that they deserve to be talked about like we're talking about them, like they should be doing this or they should be doing. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the play on the field at all. And so until you kind of taught me this last year, Eric, because you were very much like this with last year's team. And that last year's team, as you suggested, and as we know, it got off to a huge rip in the second half and with a crappy defense or an alleged crappy defense, damn near won the Super Bowl. So they did. They ended up showing us. But they haven't yet. They have underachieved this year. So I'm tending to think now. And let me give you another reason. For no other reason other than this has sort of been a bizarro world week where the Jets are concerned, because we're hearing plaudits and praises from the Jets camp as opposed to, you know, slings and arrows trash
sensational,
talk. Sensational trash thing. Talk, yeah. Coming from the Jets. They're calling us the new America's team.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick's the best coach ever. And
sure.
He concurrently, I mean, come on. Where's the Jets stuff? I mean, early in the week on Tuesday, Rex Ryan said exactly, and I said this on Tuesday's show, said exactly what we all wanted him to say. But and I'm going to paraphrase here, but he said basically, I'm not laying down for the Patriots. They know that we expect to win the game. All right, and I'm like, thank you, Rex Ryan. Now we can get the competitive juices flowing. Now we're talking Jets week. Now we're ready to hate again, and we can all put our energies toward beating up on the Jets. And then yesterday and today, it's like milquetoast. You ever had milquetoast?
It's like covering this team.
You ever had milquetoast? You ever eaten
it? No.
I had that when I was a kid. Remember, it's a Southern thing, I think. You know, it's basically
toast in milk.
And a little bit of milk and a little bit of sugar on it, and that's it. A little cinnamon and sugar, and that's it. That's, you know, it's very soggy and, you know, very plain and, you know, kind of like, ugh, why would you eat wet bread? Yeah, I'm just, you know, but anyway. Like I said, I think it's a Southern thing. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that they've been very kind to the Patriots. What the hell has gotten into Antonio Cromartie? 2 years ago, he called Brady an a-hole. And now he's like, you know, they're the Great America's team, you know? I'm just like, come on. Really? So what they're doing, in my estimation now, is they're trying reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology, exactly.
They're trying to lull us into a false sense of security, to feel good about ourselves, and they're going to spring something on us Sunday that we just did not see coming.
Like?
Tim Tebow at tailback.
I think Rex already said that, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he said that Tebow could be used at running back. And see, I think, you know.
How is that any different, really, than?
I think that, you know, dear old Rexy, I mean, I think he still can't get out of his own shadow, even though he had lab band surgery and lost 100 pounds. I don't think he can get out of his own way. He did. And so because of that, I just think that he's like the fat kid in school that couldn't keep a secret. Just had to go tell his buddies, you know, a kid that you just wanted to pop in middle school.
Andy?
Yeah, like Andy. But he can't keep a secret. And I really believe that we're going to see Tebow line up and we're going to get some use out of that. And they're going to placate the New York media that's just dying and crying, you know, to have a Tebow story, because he's been relegated to no factor at all within the Jets. Mark Sanchez is still the guy, even though he kind of stinks. The Patriots have a horrible secondary right now. And I fully expect the Jets to come in here on an emotional whirlwind, and they're going to do some different things, and I will not be shocked if they beat the Patriots on Sunday.
They do know that the strength of this defense probably is their rush defense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you think they're going to try to throw Tebow to run at them?
I think that they will use Tebow in any way that they can. We'll see the Wildcat or the Wild Jet or whatever the hell they call it. We'll see him probably line up at some tailback. I think we'll see him take some quarterback snaps without being in the Wildcat. I think we'll see him split out. I think they're going to use the kid. I think they're going to use him. I think they have to.
Yeah.
And I think they realize it's put up or shut up time, and we got to use. I mean, Bill Belichick himself this week has said he thinks that Tim Tebow is a valuable commodity to have on a team because of his versatility.
Yep.
And again, I'm paraphrasing, but he did say that earlier this week. So I think the Patriots are beginning to expect or suspect something like that to occur on Sunday. I'm not saying it'll be a deal breaker. I'm not saying it'll cause the Jets to win the game. What I am saying is that I just think the Jets are going to throw us a curveball that we're not really expecting coming, and the Patriots had best be ready to connect with the off-speed pitch that's coming. I'm going to mix my sports metaphors here, but I think it's coming on Sunday.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, we know Belichick has always liked Tebow. I think they would have drafted him if he wasn't
taken
in the first round.
I agree with that.
If he were available, probably round two or three, I think he would have taken
Round three, it's a no-brainer. They would have done it.
Maybe even round two.
Maybe.
Because of the versatility.
Maybe. But I could definitely have seen Tebow as an H-back.
Yeah. Yep.
And he could be fulfilling the Aaron Hernandez role
in a
sense.
Not on the receiving end.
They would have to develop that. Have to develop that.
I don't think you could. I don't know if he has the natural ability to receive that Hernandez does. I think they would have employed him in various ways, though. They would have found creative ways to use him, no doubt.
No question. They used him in short yardage situations, too, and everything.
Yep. They would have had an entire Tebow
package
chapter of the playbook.
Yeah, but I mean, the Jets do, too, and they haven't really utilized it.
Haven't they?
I don't believe so.
No?
I don't think so.
You don't think they're done?
No, I don't think so at all. So I think we'll see it. I think whatever stops they've got, I think they'll pull out on Sunday.
Right.
I think they're kind of laying caution to the wind here, and they feel like they can make a big statement. They can reclaim momentum within the division, as bad as it has been. I think they can put a serious dent in the Patriots, in their hopes, if they can come to Foxborough and win the game. I also believe that the Jets strongly feel like they got whooped twice last year when they shouldn't have, and I think that has sat with Rex and a few of those guys in this team for quite a while. Just a thought. Just a thought. I might, you know what? Personally, it should be about 33-16. Okay?
Yeah.
Really. Honestly, if I'm picking the game based on the merits of the game itself and matching up personnel,
right,
looking at tendencies, seeing what these teams have actually done over the first 6 weeks of this season, I'm thinking about 33-16-17, somewhere in that frame. I'm thinking that that's probably about right. Patriots probably score late to put it away because obviously we've been most critical about their inability to, you know, step on the jugular of an opposing team. It's what cost them last week. Eric, this has been gnawing at me all week long. And I don't expect this to be a typical Pats, Jets, you know, slugfest. Something's going to get
high scoring, huh?
Something's going to get done a little differently. And so I figured, you know what? Everybody around here is thinking the Patriots are going to roll. The Patriots are going to roll. The Patriots are going to roll. Okay, that's fine. I think they could roll. And as I just explained, you look at it on paper, it's about a 33-16 game. The point spread is 10.5. Good Lord, I didn't expect that at all. So clearly there are others that believe the same way.
Right.
So I'm going to be the one fly in the potato salad today. And I'm going to say Jets win it in a shocker. Surprise.
By the same score as last week?
Yeah, by the same score.
Wow. Is it in the same fashion? The New England have a lead and they blow it? Or the Jets have a lead and New England comeback falls short?
Honestly, I think that the Patriots come back short.
Wow.
I think the Patriots come back
short.
So
the Jets come out and lead for most. Wow.
Yeah, and I think the Patriots come back short. Now, that's just, again, I am throwing caution to the breeze here. So you may sufficiently castigate me or not. Webradio@patriots.com. It is Prediction Thursday. So tell me I'm full of it. Let me know if you think I am, or if you happen to agree, or if you kind of sense that just certain, I'll borrow an Olivier phrase, je ne sais quoi, okay? A little something-something that's there, and I can't quite really put my finger on it, right? But I kind of...
Is it the mental toughness thing that was talked about after the game?
Yeah, I do think there's something to that. I don't know that the Patriots are mentally tough enough to overcome this until we see it,
Were
Eric,
you surprised?
Until we see it.
Were you surprised to hear Bill admit that Monday?
A little.
I was, too.
Yeah, a little. Because that's really an admission that we don't get from him.
I wonder though,
under other circumstances.
I wonder though if it wasn't a ploy, because he knew it would get back to the players, and the reverse psychology thing. Now, you guys aren't tough enough. You guys can't do it.
Maybe.
You know, kind of like in Miracle when Herb Brooks goes after the guy who's got the bruise in his leg.
Right.
He's like, you can't play. Yeah, just take your gear off. I want hockey players, and he gets them all right.
Right.
I wonder if it's not something like that.
Maybe. You know, we have made the mention here, and I certainly have talked about it on this program, that this team is not a mature football team compared to previous editions. There are younger players that have not been through the grind, like Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork in particular. And I've made this assessment several times on this team, and I do think that has a lot to do with this team's inability to put teams away. They frankly haven't been through the ringer. They're going through the ringer now. So they're learning how to do this now. And we say, well, but it's Tom Brady. You know, it is Vince Wilfork. These guys have been around. Can't they lead by example? No, this just shows you football's a team game. Brady can go out there and be spot on, but unless he has guys catch the ball, unless he has guys block for him, or unless Brady has confidence in an offensive line, how about the chuck and duck stuff that's going on, or the dip and duck, I should say, stuff that Brady's doing right now when he senses pressure? That's a little disturbing to me. In fact, that's very disturbing to me. That kind of leads me to my other question of the day as well today, is we want you to, you know, not only give me your prediction of the score, but, you know, there was a very good piece that was penned by Jeremy Lundblad of ESPN.com. And it was put up there as well today on ESPNBoston.com about how Tom Brady is missing some fourth quarter magic that obviously we all have come to expect from his earlier days in his career. So I'm gonna give you a couple of them here just to consider, all right? 10 games still left to play. New England has already matched the franchise record for losses by less than a field goal in a season. They've matched it now. Losses by less than a field goal. The record was 3 in 1981. In all three of the losses, Brady had the ball in his hands with less than 3 minutes to go and the chance to either seal a win or produce a comeback. He's 0 for 3. It was under these circumstances that Brady emerged as an elite quarterback, as we all know. This is what put him over the top, starting with the Super Bowl 36, right? Against the Rams, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In his first 7 seasons as a starter, the Patriots went 39-10 in games decided by 7 points or fewer. That was, by the way, the best mark in the NFL. He's 0 for his last 3. Starting to slip. Mm. There's a chink in the armor. There's a crack in the veneer. Whatever you want to say. And I think it bears pointing out that because of the immaturity of this team, Brady can't. He's not at the stage at age 30. How old is he? 35? Right. I was about to say, are you sure he's not 33? We could use a couple extra years.
No.
At age 35, he just can't do the same things that he did at age 30 or 31 or earlier. And so I ask you, I ask the fans who are listening today, have you also sensed this from Tom Brady, number one? And number two, is he losing his magic? Is Tom Brady losing the magic touch? Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, we're loading them up here, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. You can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name, and at JRook0722 is the Twitter page.
I'm going to be changing my Twitter name soon.
You are?
Yeah.
What are you changing,
it to?
You don't know
what? No, I do know.
You're at PFW Eric right
I am
now.
Currently at PFW Eric. Right. I'm going to be altering it.
You're going to alter it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have an official unveiling very soon. Either by the bye week or before.
Well, I've been thinking about doing that myself because of the 0722 thing to make it a little simpler. But
right.
I remember when Twitter first launched and I actually got an account, I looked for my name and it was already taken.
Yep.
So I have to come up with something else.
Right. So I'll wait to unveil what it's going to be because, you know, I don't want someone going and taking it either.
Yeah, I know.
Screwing me out of it. But
I suppose that. I have to come up with something.
I'll let you know when it happens.
All right, please do.
So I don't want you tweeting that point.
Please do.
If you want to mention me, you're mentioning an account that's not there anymore.
All right, let's get to the phone, shall we? Let's lead it off with Wally in Texas. Wally, you're in the playbook. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, Wally.
Well, you just about covered everything I was going to say. I believe Brady's lost his magic in the last 2 Super Bowls to start with. Same thing, fourth quarter, no points.
All right.
Don't hold the ball. Don't get a first down. Play calling hasn't been great, but that still doesn't. Brady can change the plays at the line, you know.
Well, to be fair, Super Bowl 42, he did score points in the fourth quarter. They just didn't score enough of them.
Well, the thing is, he's had a chance to put away.
Right. No, I see your larger point, though.
Put away the games.
Yeah.
He's had the ball, and he hasn't done it.
Right.
Just like this year. The last time I remember him winning the game in the fourth quarter was against the Ravens, I think, in either a playoff game or just to get to the playoffs a while back. Brady, I don't know what his problem is, but, I mean, he starts to fold up with his own guys behind him like that one game. And I just, you know, I like somebody that could move.
Well, could you see, though, Wally, that if he actually had, I guess, a little more veteran experience either in front of him, blocking for him, that he might not be quite as skittish as he appears to be? Would you agree with that one?
I mean, in the Super Bowls, he had the best offensive line in football, and he was skittish. You know, I mean, against the Giants.
I don't know. I thought he actually stood in there pretty well against the Giants, to be honest with you. He took the hits pretty well.
But he stands in the same spot and takes his hits, yeah.
When
he was younger, he used to move around in the pocket and not take the hits.
Tom Brady, though, Wally, is one of the things that he has done is he knows how to anticipate moving into the pocket, into the slot in the pocket, moving up in the pocket perhaps as well as any quarterback that plays the game. He still does that now. The problem is that the pocket really isn't there for him to do that.
Yeah, the offensive line does have its problems, but I think it all goes. I mean, the team takes the leadership from the quarterback. And when you get this guy curling up in the fetal position when his own guys are behind him, it doesn't inspire the troops, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Doesn't inspire me.
Well,
I was the first one to be on the Brady bandwagon back when Bledsoe got hurt.
And now you're the first one off?
Kid, and I'm the first one off. I mean, he hasn't done anything in years. He does have his good games, but you notice in all the good games, the defense plays fairly well and gets turnovers in short fields.
Well, don't even get me started about the second half against Seattle last week. That was a complete and total abomination.
I can see him covering against the Jets through three. Okay, they'll be ahead by 11 through three.
Okay.
After that, I worry.
Okay.
That's his pattern, you know?
Yeah, well,
I mean,
you're right. Until we're proven otherwise, you are correct, sir.
And, yeah, I'm afraid I want the Patriots to beat them 51-0, but I got bad feelings unless, something shakes out.
All right, we'll see then. Somebody else has bad feelings on that one. Wally, thanks. Let's go to Ken
Maybe
in North Carolina.
Texas thing.
It might be. Ken, you're in the playbook.
Hey, man, how are you, John?
Good, sir.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
Wow. So wait a second, Ken. I'm supposed to be a cheerleader here?
Well, you know what? Since 1960, I have been a fan.
Okay.
And I have seen many, many, many years where we didn't stand a chance. But every week, I do believe we could come back. We could do something. And, you know, honestly, everybody's got their own opinion. I'm saying it's going to be 34-21. Patriots over the Jets.
Okay.
And I don't like the Jets.
Okay. I think most Patriots fans would probably tend to agree with you. Now, how do you feel about Tom Brady having lost a little of his magic?
He has certainly lost some. I know that. We can see it. He's lost some confidence. Not in necessarily in himself, but perhaps in the guys that are in front. That's a problem. The biggest problem, obviously, as I identified on Tuesday, I thought, was the defensive backfield. And we've got to do something about that. But I got to tell you, I think these guys, and all about that, you know, Rex Ryan, the Patriots are the best coach, and Cromartie, you know, this is, well, I think it is something of, let's take a different stand on all our talk. And make them feel good about themselves, make them love themselves into feeling good, and then we're going to tear them apart.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about Tebow. Okay? What happened last year with Tebow against New England? Did he win a game?
No, he did not.
Okay. And if they put Tebow in, and I hope they do, I think we will eat him. Sanchez, I've got, actually, I'm a little more scared of because he can throw a ball downfield.
Well, trust me on this one. Sanchez is going to get his opportunity to do that. I'll bet that the deep ball is somewhere in that arsenal for the Jets this week, without a doubt on that. Ken, thanks for the call. I'm going to move on because we got loaded up phone lines here. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Eldridge.
I'm like you. I feel a little comprehensive about this game because of secondary, but y'all got to lay off my boy Tom Brady. I mean, that's my... Besides Montana,
yeah.
That's my next best hero. No, like this. In that last Super Bowl, if Welcher, Branch, or even Hernandez make one catch, that's our Super Bowl. That's our fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
That's our fourth one.
You're right, okay. and we're probably not having this conversation today.
No, you wouldn't. But see, it ain't all about Brady. Brady, yeah, he's the man, true enough. But just like it's another 11 to 22 man team that's on there. That you got to step up. And I don't blame him. He don't have no trust in that line. This year, he's the most he's been hit the hardest and the longest. I haven't seen Brady yet because they're the offensive line. And just like everybody else knows, they beefing up for the Patriots now. We don't have no receivers on our side to scare them. So if we get down third and long, third, whatever, they're sitting on the short route. And if their defensive backs are bigger or faster or can cover and more aggressive, they're shutting us down. That line, like I said, if they turn around, Brady's on the ground just about, even after he throws. And again, we ain't got no receivers. Besides those tight ends, which is hurt right now, both of them, they ain't 100%. So he don't have his full arsenal yet, you know. Brandon Lloyd, he's just a work in progress. Branch, they should have never brought him back. I would have brought back Star Wars if I brought back Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman, he's not a good receiver. He's just a special player. Slater, special player. Only thing we improved at is the running game, you know. And like I said, if you put the Ravens pass receivers, the Steelers receivers, or even – I take the Cardinals and the Seattle receivers. With Brady, with them tight ends, running back we got right now, we undefeated. That's Super Bowl already there. But the corners is letting us down. Brady did what he did in both Super Bowls. Brought us down there, put us ahead. Each time, McCourty or Hobbs got burnt. Last few minutes of the game. And you can't do nothing about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a secondary play, man. You need everybody.
Right.
And for Mr. Belichick to be a genius, I can't see how he keep missing players on evaluation. You know what I mean? I mean, whoever coaches in the secondary, I can coach better, and I coach junior high and a little bit of high school. First thing is you backpedal. Your first responsibility is pass during the run. If you've got a receiver busting his butt coming off that line, you know he's in the pass pattern. He's going to get the ball.
Right.
You don't stand there wait till he pass you 5 yards. Like, oh, God, I got to run.
Right.
And there you go. And like I told PFW earlier, you know, that's wrong against Sydney. Sydney's slow. I know Sydney since Sydney was in junior high school in Gab 9.
Well,
and like I told him, I get rigged, but
We have spent some time talking about technique, and one of the things that these guys do is they do coach their technique differently. We've talked about this already, whether you agree or disagree with it. It's just what they, yeah, well, of course, but it sounds like that, but that's what they do. So that only changes, I think, with an off-season evaluation. You're not going to see technique coached differently, I don't believe, in the middle of a year. So we need to get by that. Now the question becomes, right, how do we make things better than what they are right now? It's not going to start with teaching different technique.
How you make things better? Like Bill said, do the job, you know, at least catch, at least cover somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play in quarters, which most of what they play, and if anybody in your zone, you got a receiver running wide, and he's going to break towards them, you need to run with him. Ain't nobody there. You need to run with him, you know. And as far as his receivers, they just got to accept next man up. Got to be the next man up. You got to play. But I ain't seen a game yet since we brought Branch back. Have he made a catch?
Yeah.
He made how many? One or two?
Branch?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's made plenty of catches.
Plenty of catches. One, I see him getting busted and he ain't catching. Or if he's
no.
I don't have his stats in front of me, but yeah, he's caught junior passes.
Stats. I got his stats right here because I got everything in front. 4 receptions, 41 yards in 5 games, 6 games. Ridiculous. I know he's cut then he came back.
Well, but you got to understand also, Eldridge, I mean, not for nothing, but he's also like the fourth or fifth option.
Yeah, he's not getting the ball every play.
He's not targeted on every play.
I know he's not targeted every play, but Brady mainly throws the ones that get open, even though he might be targeted a Gronk.
Well, no, that's an entirely different matter. That's an entirely different matter. I mean, if he can't get open, well, then I think your complaint's legitimate. But
I ain't never seen him get past somebody yet.
That may very well be the case, but that, again, is something that we probably aren't going to be able to at least correct at this stage. Eldridge, thanks. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good, Melvin.
Okay. Let's see. I would very much doubt, first of all, that Brady has lost his touch before I get into the other point. It seems like everybody's forgetting against the Cowboys last year. I mean, he can still get it going late in the game. And pull out a win. Although it just feels like to me that they are, for a while, they're getting very stale in the fourth quarter. I think that's obvious to everybody. So I think they need to work on, he always practices, talks about situations. He needs to really stress that situation. Now, fourth quarter, he needs to have a set of, you know, plays that probably haven't been run. What gives the best chance to get these key first downs late in game? And it makes me, when we're talking about Super Bowls, it's crazy to me that nobody really blames the offense more than what they did last year. I mean, they were up, I know, with, I think maybe eight, I think 10-8, something like that. And they had a comfortable lead, but the offense did absolutely nothing for the next three drives and allowed the Giants to come back. The defense was playing well enough. They allowed 3 points. They made good enough. We know what we have with our defense, so they did enough. But the offense had to score maybe one or two more times. Hold the ball. They went up 3-0. Brady threw an interception next, and then we had the drive that was going, and then we dropped the ball. So the offense went stale. I think it's just we have to game plan a little bit better for those late situations. And as far as the defensive backfield goes, you can't teach technique now. You need to get more veteran defensive backs in the backfield. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the oldest person back there is, what, 3 or 4 years maybe? 5 maybe? I mean, everybody else has veterans. Offense has veterans. Defensive line, the veterans. Those linebackers and secondary, we can't depend on nobody that's been out there 1 or 2 years. I mean, we had 2 rookies back there.
Well, but that's partly due to injury. I mean, Chung and,
right,
and Gregory are your veterans back there. They were both hurt. They had no choice.
Right. I mean, I would have put some. I mean,
who would you have put in there? You have nobody else.
I mean, I would have put Arrington, possibly. I would have put.
He's not a safety.
But he's better. He's just personal to me. I mean, if he's been in those type of situations, he's better to me than 2 rookies back there. I know he's been getting. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't think you put 2 rookies in back there. Although you've been playing safety, he always talks about versatile players. That's versatile players that could have been out there in that situation. Me personally, you know, if he wanted to put it out there, then obviously he had faith in him to put him out there. I just think that he could have. I mean, I'm not going to – I mean, Tavon Wilson's made good plays, too. But I thought Ebner, you know, cost us a couple, 7 points in Arizona, too. So, I mean, I just want to put him back there to be like, hey, you know they're about to throw deep. I know you're going to throw deep on my 2 safes. I'd much rather – I'm not a fan of Arrington at all. But I still feel like I would have felt a little bit more comfortable with a couple of Will out. I mean, he's on injured reserve. But it's a couple of more players that I think they should have had. If not, then they should have brought somebody in. I mean, I know Gregory's hurt. Just bring in a couple more. I mean, everybody, my point is, everybody is young. And the one old person you got is older veteran that doesn't have those kinks is gone. So we need more veterans back there for those type of situations. Should have never let Sanders go if you're going to do that. Last time he was back in the backfield, he picked up Peyton Manning last year, it was 2 years ago, and, you know, and won him the game. So you just need some more veterans back there. Or, you know, me personally, that's just my point.
Nope, I think that's fine. Who wins the game this weekend, Melvin?
I think the Patriots are going to handle them I see about 31-20 game, maybe. I think they'll be fine. I'm glad that this defensive backfield issue is really stressed this time. So, and I don't think the Jets have the receivers to go down the field to match up there. And then with as much as aggressive as that as he likes to blitz, he doesn't have the corners now with Revis out there to match up. Although our people are hurt, we're still a lot better than them.
All right.
As far as that goes.
Okay.
We can win those one-on-one battles.
Okay. Good stuff, Melvin. Thanks.
No problem.
Melvin in Tennessee. All right. I know you're just burning to say something.
No.
You've been sitting here doing a slow burn and stew through the phone calls already. You're just itching to say something.
He's got every right to think what he thinks and say what he wants to say. Whether or not I agree with it is different.
Come
That's
on.
Fine. I mean,
out with it.
What they need is talent at those positions. It doesn't matter if they're rookies or 10-year veterans.
Right now.
No, but his point was they need older people. No, they just need talent. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you can play, you can play. Chandler Jones is a rookie, and he's playing pretty well. That's why he's out there. The only reason Nate Ebner was in the game was because there were injuries to your veterans. And they had nobody else. Kyle Arrington has never played safety here. I don't know what makes Melvin think that all of a sudden he can just make that switch to safety. It's not that easy. Just because you play you play cornerback, doesn't mean you can play every position back there. Ask Devin McCourty. They tried that. Didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just make that switch just because you've been in the league for more years than the other guy. And you can't just bring in people like you just randomly just bring in people. Well, that means you have to cut other people or assign them to injured reserve, and then you don't get them back.
They kind of already do bring in people for workouts, though.
No. He's saying bring them in and sign them and put them in the game. I mean, you can't do that. There are repercussions to those things. You can't just arbitrarily sign guys and move them around. I mean, it's not that easy.
I'm not sure that you really want to do that.
No.
In the first place, because then you sort of defeat the purpose of coaching and learning a system.
Right.
Right? Sean in Pennsylvania, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, honestly, I just want to apologize on behalf of Pats fans for the last couple of calls you guys were doing. That's some ridiculous stuff. I can understand why dude's mad. All you really want to comment and say on is how he said about Arrington, the free safety. I mean, I can see where he's coming with that, but not Arrington. I can see, putting McCourty back there because he had experience other than Ebner. Another thing is, I called in. In the offseason, we knew that the defensive back core was very, very, very weak. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't see what the point of signing 17 or 18 tight ends was when we could have, some more help back there than some rugby player who played 3 years of football in his entire life. Who's back there with a world-class spinner like Sidney Rice, 6'4". You're not going to match up on him.
Well, part of the reason they signed so many tight ends was because they were all getting hurt. They needed bodies in there. And they were looking for certain characteristics in those tight ends.
I know. I feel like they needed a run. You mean I feel like they one of the main reasons they were looking for is a run blocker. Am I right?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think they were looking for guys who are able to do the type of things that Gronk and Hernandez can do, which is both run and catch. And I think it's really difficult to find those kind of players. But when they had a chance to get a guy like Ballard, who's more of a Gronk type player, or a Shanko, who's more of a Hernandez type player, and then later on when they had the failed experiment Fells was more of a run blocker for sure.
Great layout for my Fells though to catch the ball last.
Oh my God! Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, no kidding. He's dropped it. It's hit him right in the hands, and he's dropped it. But he lays out for that one.
But just in case you. It's not just the run blocking, but they're trying to be a more balanced offense, and they've become a tight end centric offense. They're running the ball more, which has a lot to do with the tight ends, but they're still passing a lot when they have to, and the number one targets are the tight ends. Mm-hmm. They're revolutionizing the way offense is played in the NFL. We're seeing that right now. We have been seeing it since these two guys were drafted. That's why they had to take so many tight ends. But you're right on your other point, which was they didn't really sufficiently address the problems in the secondary. Adding Gregory was a good move, but it was just a move. They didn't do anything really at the cornerback position, and I think that's to their discredit.
Yeah, I just don't really see what Ebner had. I mean, coming out of college, coming for a fifth-round pick, that was so interesting. I don't know if it was a backstory that felt bad. I'm not trying to be ignorant, but I mean, this is National Football League. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. You got fans out here I don't want to say made fun of, but making fun of you, their own team.
Preaching to the choir, Sean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's just
I feel bad for Edmund and his backstory. I don't know if you guys know about his dad getting killed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, you're a rugby player. You're rugby's MVP. Go do that. I don't know. I just.
No, I don't mind that. I don't mind they're taking a chance on a guy like that. I just, you take a chance on a guy like that as an undrafted free agent after you've made your targeted moves in the draft and in free agency. Then you have the luxury of taking a chance on a guy like Ebner, but you don't draft. I know what you're saying.
Well, let you guys go. Keep up good work.
What do you think? What do you think about this weekend, Sean? How about a quick pick?
Honestly, I feel like Belichick's gonna. Just like I feel like it's gonna be one of the weeks where Belichick is either gonna be a huge disappointment again, which I don't think, but I feel like it's gonna be a huge Bleacher Report, Pro Football Talk, everything I was looking at. I mean, of course they've been wrong the last couple of weeks, but I feel like it's gonna be a 3-touchdown lead. I mean, 3-touchdown win, personally.
Okay.
I don't see the Jets offense. I mean, our defense is stout enough to stop that. Sean Green, I think, and I don't think Sanchez is gonna be back there lighting up our secondary. I think there might be some changes from Matt. And I just see Brady maybe getting a 3-4-touchdown game, honestly.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Sean, thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you've got a prediction for Sunday's game. I get the impression that while everybody is upset, and rightfully so, over the play of the secondary, that the Jets are the welcome panacea to whatever, you know, ills that there are right now. Now, how much credit do we give them for beating up on the Colts last week and looking a little bit like the Jets of old?
That's a tough question to answer because, I mean, I picked the Colts. I thought the Jets were ripe for the picking for the Colts. I shouldn't have bought into the trap after the Colts won that big game the week before and the Jets, you know, losing Revis and looking like they're in dire straits and Sanchez playing the way he had been before then. I bought into it, and I probably shouldn't have. So, that's a tough question, John. A tough question. I don't know.
So you're telling me that you don't know that the Jets are as good as maybe the beating they put on the Colts?
Yeah, because the Colts are still a growing team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they're a bad team. They're a growing team. They've made improvements over last year. They're a better team than they were, but they're still not quite there yet. And teams like that, you're going to have weeks where they look like a young team. They look like they're a team that isn't quite there yet. So for the Jets to come in and sort of bully them a little bit shouldn't have been too surprising. But the flip side of that is now the Jets feel a little confident, and confidence can go a long way in how you play. Can make a bad team feel better than they really are, and play better than they really are.
Okay.
So I think they'll come in and they'll try to impose some of that on the Patriots. But eventually, I think it becomes a 2-3 touchdown type game.
All right, and then as to one of the initial points that we made in the program today and the items that I pointed out about Tom Brady's all of a sudden inability to perform magic out on the football field and lead his team from behind. What do you think about that?
Well, it's not all on him either. I don't want to say that it's all Tom Brady's fault. He's certainly part of it, though. There's no denying it. It's just deep downfield throws he's not connecting on. He's part of the problem, but he's not the only problem. That they're not executing on these things. And I think Bill's right. I think part of it is that there's, whether you want to call it mental toughness or confidence or, you know, describe it however you want to describe it. They haven't developed that killer instinct, whatever you want to call
it. Pretty obvious to see that they've not developed
that. When you have somebody by the throat, you can't let up.
No.
You can't let up.
No.
And they're not.
But I'm wondering now how much, you know.
But it's not just him, because the defense is letting these teams get back in the game, too.
Well, that's also true. And, you know, and you have guys that certainly know how to do it because they've done it in the past, specifically Brady and Wilfork, but they can't be there where their other 10 teammates are on the field at any given time. So I'm kind of wondering how much influence does one player, no matter his expertise or his experience, how much influence can one player possibly have on, you know, basically, you know, leading by example?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the drive, the last drive that they had the ball, one of his passes went through Hernandez's hands. Okay, that's not really on Brady. The next one, Deion Branch gets interfered with. They don't call the pass interference penalty. It was blatant. Should have been an obvious first down. That has nothing to do with Brady magic. Those things are out of his control. I mean, it's he's part of it. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that he's a reason for it. I mean, they could have done things earlier in the game, like the end of the first half. I put that on him when he didn't see Gronk wide open in the corner of the end zone. If you've run that play a million times, you know where your primary receiver. I know that they don't technically have primary receivers in this offense, but when you have a guy like Gronk on the field, everybody knows 9 times out of 10, ball's going to go to him. You don't see him wide open in the corner. That's a touchdown at the end of the first half. I put that on him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not fourth quarter, but that's in a crucial time in the game. Could have completely turned the momentum around going into the locker room. Instead, the Seahawks go in feeling a little confident. You do that, you break their backs probably,
okay,
and they don't come back. So, yeah, he's part of it, but don't say it's all Brady's fault.
So you don't think maybe that there's just a little bit of that shine that's come off of the armor?
Well, the fact that they haven't won these games, you know, the perception is, yeah, that it's him because he leads the team, and
isn't perception everything?
No, I mean, it's not.
But I see. I argue it is, Eric, because it's probably not fair to pin it all on Tom. But perception is reality when it comes to public and sports and in general talk about the Patriots. Perception is reality, and the fact is that, you know, that's one of the first criticisms I heard of the Patriots, other than the secondary sucks, is that Tom Brady's lost it because he can't pitch the team from behind. Mm-hmm. He is a victim of his own magnificent success.
In some ways, yeah.
In some ways?
Yeah.
How about in every way? How about in almost every way? He is. He can't be Tom Brady anymore, so something's wrong. Well, how come you can't be Tom Brady anymore? Well, I try to explain because I think there's some immature parts to the team around him that have not yet caught up to him.
Yeah.
And we hope that before too long this season, some of those parts do catch up to him where he can be Tom Brady again. But we haven't seen it yet. And that's where the struggle, this is where the internal strife is coming from right now at this point in time. This team is 4 points away from being 6-0, but the reality is they're 3-3. They're 3-3. So which is it going to be, right? All right, here's one key matchup then that I really think that we should look for on Sunday. I think we feel like, you know, without Darrelle Revis in the process for the Jets because he's out with the injured leg, that Antonio Cromartie is obviously going to be the huge guy in the backfield. And I think that, you know, they'll probably find a way to match him up with Welker coming out. At least that's my thought. And because of that, I think that that could end up having a huge bearing, a swing factor on this game. If Welker is able to grab 10 passes, and by the way, if he does, he sets the NFL record for consecutive number of games with double digits in receiving. It'd be a fourth straight game he's caught 10 or more.
Yep.
Nobody's ever done that, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
When you think of all the greats, the Jerry Rices of the world, and nobody's ever done that, Welker can do that. And here we are talking about how, he's gone next year? Come on. Really? We're really saying this. It's a whole other story, a whole other argument for another time.
Yep. Yep.
All I'm saying is that this is the matchup that I am going to watch. If Cromartie can help take him out of the equation, and Brady's got to go elsewhere, that doesn't mean that the Patriots won't win the game. Because as we all know, going elsewhere can mean Gronk, Hernandez, you know, certainly Lloyd, Branch, whomever, right?
Yep.
But if they take Welker out, the binky isn't there anymore, okay? That's kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. And so there could be a time where this team struggles if Cromartie can limit the touches and limit the opportunities. Now, it may very well be the Patriots have decided, and I certainly would not be surprised to see this, to go hurry up, as they have done with some success, but run the ball out of the hurry up, as we've also seen with some success.
That would be a little different, yeah.
But I think we've seen that, and I think we could see that again on Sunday, and that might automatically take Welker out of the equation. But on the chances that Welker does get targeted, say 8 to 10 times, does he come up with 7 or 8 grabs? That's a question. That could be a difference maker here. If Cromartie can do his part, and the Patriots do take some of the air out of the ball and run the ball and fail to cash in. They were 1 for 6 in the red zone, scoring touchdowns this last week. If they fail to catch in, this is going to give the Jets a chance to do exactly what I said at the top of this show. You're shaking your head. You're nodding in agreement, but you're about to lay into me.
No, I'm not.
I just want you to understand where I'm coming from.
I'm trying to process it.
Okay.
I'm trying to process it. That's
okay.
All.
All right. That's
all I respect
I'm
your I respect
all,
your opinion.
That's all I'm saying. Now, I might be all wet. I actually, as a fan, I hope I am all wet. I need to see it. You last year said this through several weeks throughout last season. Got to see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally did at the end, and you were a believer by the end of the season.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I'm in the same mode.
Okay,
right now.
All right,
okay.
I've seen a little bit more. That's why I'm a little bit more.
Okay,
I'm a few steps ahead, maybe in my belief.
Okay, all right. Do we have time for a word of the day? I think we do, don't we? We had to catch him off guard. Do you have one for us today?
I can always get you one. Come on,
the man's gonna delve into his. He's gonna delve into his.
There's no lack.
Very
of...
elaborate vocabulary.
Right.
Okay.
I just like hearing the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Word of the Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is?
Okay, I'll sort of go with a word that has something to do with the theme that we've been talking about today. The word is... imminent, not imminent, not I-M-M-I-N-E-N-T, not imminent as in about to happen.
Okay.
Immanent, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T, which means existing only in one's mind.
Huh.
So.
I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T?
Immanent, not imminent.
Immanent.
Yes. Similar sounding, similar spelling.
I don't think I've ever seen that word before.
Yep. Existing only in one's mind. So are these struggles, toughness.
Use it in a sentence, I tell you, in the spelling bee. Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Okay. The perception that Tom Brady has lost his luster is imminent in the minds of his detractors.
Okay. All right. Imminent. I-M-M-A.
It's imminent to his detractors.
Yes.
Yeah.
I-M-M-A-N-E-N-T.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. That's a new one. Now, on a rare occasion, you throw me one that I've actually heard before. You know, I will give you this. You have a very broad vocabulary, and it's very impressive. But that's one that I knew. Mm-mm. I thought you were going to say I-M-M-I-N-E-N-T.
Nope.
A foreshadowing of things to come. It's imminent, right?
That's correct.
But this is imminent, and it's pronounced the same way.
Virtually the same.
Virtually the same.
Yeah. It's hard to distinguish
between
the
English
two.
Language really can suck sometimes, can it?
Yep.
I don't understand if you're coming from China, how you can understand English. I mean, you know, we think
we have the same problem going over there.
Yeah, we think Chinese is Chinese, but I mean,
oh no, we suck again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get English, so but there you go. All right, good one.
How do you like that?
I like it. That's an excellent choice.
Okay.
All right, so you're thinking the Pats big this week?
Yeah, and I'm going to go with it's the same score that Andy used, but it's the same score that I was thinking of, 34-17.
34-17?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was initially scared off by that 10-point number, but then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, I think they can do this. I think they can.
Well, let's just say that I expect the Jets to cover the nut. How's that?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
At the very least, they cover that
rock,
nut.
Paper, scissors.
10.5, yeah.
So
exactly.
Right, okay.
One or the other. All right. Eric, we'll see you on Sunday,
yes,
brother.
Yes, we will.
All right. Coming up, though, after we take the timeout, on Thursday is the one and only pro football guru himself, Russell Baxter. He joins us in the playbook next.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook on a Thursday here on Patriots.com radio. And that means we welcome in pro football guru. We welcome in Bleacher Report, cold hard football facts, the one and only Russell Baxter. Russell, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the plug. Unfortunately, if I keep on writing for more sites, we're not going to have time to actually talk about.
No, that's quite all right. We want to give you, we want to give you plenty of credit and let people know where they can find your work, because
Yoo-hoo!
We get
Baxter!
in addition to that, we get tons of notes here from people who say that they really love listening to you because they love the encyclopedic knowledge that you have of the game.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that? See?
I think, listen, PayPal is a great thing. It's amazing how much money you can send out all over the country.
There you go. Part of our conversation today has to do with something that was written on ESPN.com by Jeremy Lindblad about how Brady seems to have lost a little of his luster, certainly some of his magic, with not being able to lead this team in come-from-behind situations in each of their three losses so far this year. Do you buy into that? Do you subscribe to that based on your knowledge of history?
Well, not necessarily. I want to say this, by the way. I'm very familiar with Jeremy. He does an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I work with Jeremy at ESPN. He does a terrific job in all his writing, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
You'll remember this, John. You remember Troy Aikman often got criticized for not being a great come-from-behind quarterback. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, you used to hear that a lot.
Especially in his younger days, right?
Right.
When the team was awful.
Yeah. But even in the days when they were winning Super Bowl, there was, you know, what are you supposed to do when you're not behind a lot? Okay? Sometimes it just doesn't bring you into that situation. I mean, fourth quarter comebacks are great. Okay? You also sometimes have to wonder how you got behind. And, Jake Plummer comes to mind. I used to hear people all the time with great fourth quarter comeback. And I thought Jake was a terrific player. But he was also inconsistent enough that sometimes he was the reason that the team fell behind. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason that the Patriots were behind is because of Tom Brady. Sometimes you just can't make up for the fact that the defense isn't pulling their share. And how many times are you supposed to have to be able to dig? And why does it all have to be on Brady, too?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I mean, I really kind of still am mystified to the point of why teams even field 53-man rosters if we only talk about the quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to be snide or anything like that, but it's a collective effort. I mean, Eli Manning threw that ball to David Tyree. He didn't throw the ball to Eli Manning. And then in the corner of the end zone, Eli Manning didn't throw the ball to Eli Manning. He threw it to Plexico Burris. Okay? And last year was Manningham. I mean, this is a team game where everybody has to contribute. And, to me, there are still holes to talk about with the Patriots defense. Even in games they've won this year, they've given up their shares of points.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done a terrific job being able to help that defense when they have run the football as effectively as they had. And the thing I like about what New England does when it comes to running the football is they don't necessarily abandon the run. Now, I'm saying that off the game last week.
Yeah.
But, for instance, the game against Buffalo, okay, does Buffalo want to come out in the nickel? Buffalo nickel, by the way. That was good.
Yeah. I get
what?
It.
We're going to run against the nickel. If you want to put out five DBs and think we're going to throw, we're going to run against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Patriots had the 2 weeks where they ran 200 yards back-to-back. By the way, seen a lot of running around the league this year, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't think that's by accident after what we saw last year. But I don't think it has anything to do with Brady's mojo, okay? Being able to do that depends on a lot of different circumstances. And, again, sometimes – I'll give you a perfect example because we just saw it Monday night. I heard a lot about Peyton Manning's mojo, and he had a terrific second half. But if Phillip Rivers is going to hand you the ball six times – personally, I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Still, Rivers had six turnovers.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Two of them, which were directly returned.
Right, for scores. Right, yes, exactly.
All I heard Tuesday morning is Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But Peyton doesn't get in position to win that game if he isn't handed the opportunity like that.
Right. Now, and that's the funny thing. If you were talking about come-from-behind victories this year, I guess you could slam Peyton Manning, okay, because of what has happened with them this year. And I know they're 3-3, though, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that Monday night was the fourth time this season that the Denver Broncos have fallen behind by at least 20 points? Not 10, 20.
Right.
Okay, now the first three times, got back within six against New England. They got back within 10.
Mm-hmm.
This time, They came all the way back and more, and they had a little bit of help. So I'm saying that come-from-behind thing, I would be willing to bet, you ask every quarterback in this league along with the coach, I'd love to be 0-0 and come-from-behind victories.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that position to begin with.
Exactly. It's not only just hard on the quarterback, it's hard on everybody.
Right.
Okay? It's hard on the offensive line when the opposing defense knows that you're going to throw for the rest of the game. Okay? Mm-hmm. As we know in this league, just ask Arizona, you don't have the right people in place, pass blocking can be a problem. So pass blocking is also a problem when you're constantly throwing.
You know, in Brady's case, though, Russell, can you make an argument that in the games that he has, the over 30 comeback from behind games that he has won, that in these particular instances, those defenses also knew he had to throw, and he still executed.
Well, he does, but again, how much has the cast changed over the years there as well?
The cast has changed greatly.
Yes, and you know sometimes it depends on the other members as well to make the tough catch. To make the impossible catch.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that goes into it. And to me, there's so much that just falls on the quarterback. I understand he's got the ball. I understand he's the leader. But, you know, there's just much too much to it. The whole entire game is a team game, and we always just seem to focus. And I say to the kid about this all the time. If it's not the head coach's fault, it's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not the quarterback's fault, it's the head coaches. There's got to be more to it than that. I don't know why they put the other guys on the field, John.
Okay, fair enough. Seahawks had plenty of guys on the field at the right time last week. Were you as shocked as the rest of us on that one, or did you really think that they had more than just a prayer at the end?
Well, with New England up 23-10, I mean, we knew that Seattle defense was going to be tough. By the way, I'll tell you how tough they are. Last week, the Patriots scored 23 points. That was the most allowed by the Seahawks this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, and as we all know, the Patriots left a lot on the field, too.
Yes, they did. And, I was making the point, 23 points concerning the fact I believe they ran 85 offensive plays. So I guess you would expect maybe a little more point production as well. But I give credit where credit's due. Seattle made some plays. And, you know, that's a tough place to play. I mean, you know, we were kind of kidding about the fact that Tom Brady had never played a game there.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first trip to Seattle. That's a different kind of place. How often do we hear about, you know, offensive line problems and different things that go on there? That 12th man that they brag so much about, that's not bragging. I mean, it really has an influence in a lot of games. But once they were up 23-10, that's when I became surprised that the Patriots did not close the door. And, you know, when Sidney Rice got behind those two defenders, I was like, it was a beautiful pass. It was perfect. But there was a little bit of shock value. And then you considered everybody else in the division won. It's a pretty good game of Yahtzee you got going there in the AFC East with everybody 3-3.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Well, I ask about Seattle because clearly now they have the short week and they have tonight's game at San Francisco. And so now the NFC West looks like, let's put it this way, doesn't look like it did just a few short years ago, does it?
No, juggernaut now.
Yeah,
I mean,
big time.
Think about a couple years ago. We had 2-7-9.
Yeah, you had a 7-9 team win the division.
Right. And the Rams were 7-9 that year and lost the final game of the year to Seattle, and that's how they wound up not making the playoffs. San Francisco was 6-10 that year, and Arizona, I believe, was 5-11. So let's see, 7-14, that's 25 wins for the entire year, which means my math is right on the other end. That's got to be like, what, 25-39
mm-hmm.
combined record.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're sitting at 15-9. 15-9.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody with a losing record.
Nope.
And, you know, even the Rams, who can come at you with that front four, tough football team. I'm trying to figure out, you want to talk about figuring out how to lose the game. They outgained the Dolphins last week by 270 yards. 462-192. I believe they started every drive, though, John, in their own territory. So they gained a lot of yards, and then, you know, Greg Zuerlein, the kicker, who had not missed, I think has missed his last three attempts. One from was from 66 yards. I mean, let's not get crazy, but still. But
I love that they took the shot. I really do.
No, so,
I love that.
One of these days, Sebastian Janikowski is going to hit one of those 70 yards.
I agree.
I just wanted to be fair to him that, well, he missed his last three field goals. One of them was from quite an impossible distance.
Right.
So
right.
After he hit his first 13 or 15 field goals this year. Remember the game against Seattle? He had a 58-yarder and a 60-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only person I can think ever did that was like Gus the Talking Mule. Okay? Or Gus the whatever the Disney character was. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, the NFC West has gotten real, real intriguing. And, you know, the team that we were talking about just 2 weeks ago, Arizona being at 4-0, getting ready to make another quarterback change. Here comes John Skelton back after Kevin Cobb took his turn getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Seattle on the road this week has an opportunity to shock the world again, or does San Francisco return to some sense of normalcy tonight after getting it handed to them as well last week themselves?
I know the word you really want to say, and
yeah.
I don't know what the regulations are about you saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, the two times that the Niners have lost this year, they got out 49ered,
mm-hmm.
Minnesota and the Giants. And both of those teams ran the ball on San Francisco for over 140 yards. Now, if you know anything about the Niners' defense, especially against the run, they're a lot better than that.
Right.
So, I mean, I know a lot of Alex Smith. People told me Alex Smith where they let him throw to. No, they were behind. The early stages of that game, John, was really interesting. And it'll be interesting tonight to see if Sidney Rice and Braylon Edwards and Doug Baldwin can do the same thing. Victor Cruz, and I think Hakeem Nicks, for the time I believe he was in there briefly, I think he wound up getting hurt again. They were making these really tough catches. I don't know how much of the game you saw with New England and Seattle going on at the same time.
Yeah.
They were making these really tough catches. Not spectacular catches per se, but catches that you could see the frustration on the 49ers defensive backs. And then Victor Cruz caught that bullet pass from Eli Manning in the back of the end zone. And I think that Niner defense was really, really surprised. And, you know, the Niners offense can be unpredictable, to say the least. I think the thing that surprised us the most was here was a team that had just won their last two games, 79-3,
mm-hmm.
and they wind up getting held to a field goal at home. I look at two factors about tonight's game. We've already seen how the 49ers react when they do lose, and it's not pretty. And here we have our old friends Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll getting together today.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Be worth watching, I think.
It could be.
Only one other game involving an AFC East team this weekend, because the Dolphins get the bye this week. The Titans are playing at the Bills. Which of the four 3-3 teams, in your estimation, comes out on top after this weekend is over? And I realize that somebody has to win the game here in Foxborough, so Miami won't be in first place.
Right.
But is Miami a long-term factor here?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I think their confidence has gained. I think that win at Cincinnati did a little bit of wonders for them. That was a playoff team from a year ago. They had played two tough but heartbreaking losses in overtime to the Jets and to the Cardinals. And, you know, for them to go into Cincinnati, and the Bengals were playing fairly well. I think the Bengals had won three in a row. For them to go into Cincinnati and win that game, I think, boosted their confidence. You can see Ryan Tannehill's confidence actually growing. And last week, the Dolphins' running game was literally non-existent. So they found a way to win that game. So, you know what? I could see Miami hanging around. It's all going to, you know, it is because we have all this craziness within all the divisions, John. You know, maybe with the exception of the NFC South, where Atlanta has an enormous lead. And depending on what happens this week in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, where Baltimore and Houston to a degree as well.
Mm-hmm.
These divisional games are going to be even bigger than they ever were. And they usually are huge. But we could see some really interesting, you know, like I said, tiebreakers coming down the road. It's, to me, it's very important that a New England wins this game at home, holds serve against the Jets. We always talk about holding serve, you know? The one thing about the Jets is I know they're only 3-3, but they did beat the Dolphins in Miami. They did beat the Bills at home. They've done okay against the division so far. It's some of the out-of-division games that has been a problem for them, just like New England winning at Buffalo, especially coming from behind.
Right.
That's one you store in your back pocket for the rest of the season.
You mentioned briefly Houston, and that clearly seems to be a marquee game this week when you have two 5-1 teams going at each other with Baltimore playing at Houston. Are you surprised the Texans lost? I mean, I guess I'm not. I think I'm a little more surprised that the Ravens may be 5-1 at this stage, but I seem to think that this game is going to be viewed as the AFC's best overall chance to be, I don't know, beating an NFC team in the Super Bowl, because the NFC has had its way with AFC teams thus far this season. Are we oversimplifying that Ravens-Texans game, or should the winner of this one be considered a front runner?
Well, I think it's a big step. I think it's an enormous game for Houston, to be honest with you. They've never beaten the Baltimore Ravens. They lost to them twice last year, including the divisional playoffs. And if you remember the beginning of that game, one young man named Jacoby Jones had a tough time fielding punts for the Texans.
Right.
And if you remember all the turnover problems, T.J. Yates with the interceptions, you know, a lot of people felt that Houston, who, by the way, Arian Foster ran for 132 yards against that healthy Baltimore defense in the playoffs last year. So a lot of people felt that Houston outplayed Baltimore in that game and didn't get the job done, just like many people felt Baltimore outplayed New England in the AFC title game, and they didn't get the job done. My point is that Jacoby Jones now plays for the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, we saw him last week tie the NFL record for longest kickoff return in NFL history.
Right, 180 yards.
And they're going
to
need stuff like that, because we don't know what to expect from a Ravens defense now without Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb. And now there's speculation that Terrell Suggs could be back this week. We shall see. But
which would be a tremendous story in its own right, by the way. I wanted to throw that in there. But in fact, the guy, I mean, what was it, Achilles injury, I think?
Yeah.
If he actually is able to come back, Suggs is as tough as he says he is.
No, there's no doubt about it. I wasn't surprised that Houston lost last week, John. I was surprised how they lost. Considering their first five games, they're defensive unit gave up 6 touchdowns, which was exactly what Aaron Rodgers got in one night. So, and they had given, I mean, it's funny, Houston is not giving up a rushing touchdown this year. They've given up 12 touchdown passes. So I think it was how they lost. Now, of course, they were playing really, in essence, their first game without Brian Cushing. So there's going to be some adjustments there as well. And it is going to be kind of like a, who's the leader of the pack right now in the AFC? By the way, Baltimore and Houston are the only two teams in the AFC that have a winning record.
Right.
So I think if this is a showdown game, of course, maybe until the next showdown game, because we do know Houston plays New England on a Monday night this year.
Right.
So that's something to keep an eye on down the road. But I'll be intrigued to see if, you know, Houston can finally break through against the Ravens. I think this is a big game for them. And, you know, especially after the start that they had, you don't want to turn around and then lose two games at home in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. By the way, that was one of the great little statistical anomalies that I saw this last week, where it said that there are more winning teams or more teams in the NFC West with winning records than the entire AFC.
Isn't that, I mean, that's just a standard. And you already alluded to it, the head-to-head this year, NFC 19, AFC 9.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It was just a couple of years ago when that was reversed.
Yes, last year the NFC won the season series for the first time in 16 years.
Wow.
And they had not won it since 1995.
And so now they're just wailing on AFC teams. I'm glad you brought that up. What in your estimation has led to this?
Cyclical.
Really? It's just nothing but cyclical.
Well, I don't know if that's the explanation. That's more the fact. The 70s were AFC. Remember, the NFC then turned around and won 13 straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, then the AFC won 7 out of 9 Super Bowls. Now the NFC's won 4 out of 5. It's funny, the NFC has won the last 3 Super Bowls, and those 3 teams, the Saints, the Packers, and the Giants, 0 turnovers in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it as well, is how those teams get to the Super Bowl and how they play. So I don't know. To me, I'm a great believer in cyclical, not just in terms of dominance, but also game plan as well. That's why I think we're seeing some teams roll up some big rushing yards this year, opposed to last year when it seemed like there was nothing but passing in the league.
Okay. You'd mentioned earlier that there was a kind of a divisional matchup that we need to be watching, and either one of these teams I still think will certainly figure into the playoff chase in the AFC, and that's the Steelers playing at the Bengals this weekend. And, you know, Pittsburgh has to be viewed by their fans like the Patriots are being viewed by many of theirs, underachievers at this stage of the game. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, I don't know if it's so much underachieving with the Steelers. Rather than every time you turn around and you put on a Steelers game, you want realize that two or three or four of their prominent players are not playing.
Mm.
And that's not an excuse, because I look at them on defense. And I know Polamalu has missed a big part of the season already. Last week was Lamar Woodley. Beginning of the year was Ryan Clark. No James Harrison for a couple of games. So when we're talking about the Pro Bowl players that the Steelers seem to always be without. We knew their running game was going to be suspect this year. I think some people are surprised that we even saw Rashard Mendenhall, who played a big part when they beat Philadelphia. But he wound up getting hurt a little bit again last week in the Tennessee game. And the fact is that this is an older team in some regards. It's a defense is not as staunch as it was. You see teams who have, you know, if you run for 90-something yards on the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's a good day. Okay, sometimes we like to use the gauge of 100 or 120. If you get even 80 or 90 against the Steelers, you've done something. And that's what you've seen with this team actually for more than over a year now. And I know they finished number one in total defense last year, but that failure to be shut down against the run for a 3-4 defense is disappointing. And their lack of balance, their problems on the offensive line, this is kind of a I don't know if it's underachieving, John. It's almost like a patchwork team that you see with them.
Sure.
And combine the fact that they're not very deep, and now when they make crucial mistakes, like Ben Roethlisberger throwing a pick near the end of the half that winds up turning into a field goal, or, you know, missing coverage on the tight end. I thought going for that field goal last year, week of 54 yards, I don't coach, I thought it was a terrible move to give the Tennessee Titans a short field. And they wind up staying. You know, do you realize that the last three Steelers games, the loss to Oakland, the win over the Eagles, and the loss to Tennessee, have all been decided by field goals on the very final play of the game?
Wow, that is remarkable. No, I guess that hadn't really dawned on me.
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately for the Steelers, here's a team that went 12-4 each of the last 2 years, just like the Ravens.
Well, that's why
they're already sitting with three losses.
That's why I kind of brought up the parallel with the Patriots, because the Patriots obviously have got three losses by a combined 4 points.
Yes.
So, you know, are the Steelers really as bad as their record would indicate? Nobody seems to think the Patriots are as bad as their record would indicate.
Well, I think the Patriots might have a flaw in terms of defense, and there's still I think there's some people who still feel I do. That they're maybe a little suspect with their pass defense.
Yes. Okay? Yes, definitely.
Okay. So I look that way. To be honest with you, I can't figure out what Steeler team we've actually seen this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're five games in, and again, these are not Mike Tomlin's going to be the last person to tell you that they're going to make any excuses. You play with the people you have. But, how different is this defense without a Troy Polamalu?
Right.
Okay, the versatility he has. They have so many versatile players. I mean, Lamar Woodley. Again, we're talking about Pro Bowl players. You can't seem to get a grasp. I mean, it's almost like watching the third preseason game when you watch the Steelers in some regard. Listen, they got dynamite wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Mike Wallace, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. But what does this tell you? Ben Roethlisberger has thrown for almost 1,000 yards. I think it's 992, John,
mm-hmm.
in their three losses.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a good one. I'll be remembering that when I watch the game this weekend. Before I go to the Pats and the Jets again, two teams that we saw more than just pretty good performances from, but they kind of bounced back in a way where they're now darlings again as opposed to being demonized, and that's the Packers and the Giants. They don't play each other this weekend, but they bounced back in big ways against teams that you weren't sure what you're going to get. And now the Giants are at home against the Redskins. The Packers are on the road against the Rams. Do they continue their all of a sudden resurgence?
Well, I think the Packers have no shot because they've lost and won, lost and won, and lost and won.
So they're going to lose.
Okay,
fair enough. And plus, by the way, we should
Sterling analysis.
And we should mention it's good. We should mention the Rams are undefeated at home.
There you go. Well, and have played well at home. I mean, have really clamped down on teams. You know, beat the Cardinals, beat the Redskins.
Yeah.
Beat Seattle. I mean, think about the teams they've beaten. Okay? So, you know, Jeff, you knew Jeff Fisher was going to go in there and do a good job. He's loaded on the defensive line. And listen, the Packers do have some problems pass protection. There's no doubt about that. So this will be intriguing. I mean, common sense that says that the Rams can't keep up with the Packers. But common sense says that the Packers would never blow an 18-point lead against
the
Colts.
Right.
So, again, here's another team. There's so many teams that have been powerhouses to a degree these last 3 or 4 years. And I think we're having such a tough time getting a grasp of what they are because the thing about, be it Pittsburgh, whatever their reasons are, New England, Green Bay, I think we know the reasons for New Orleans. The key word for them has been erratic.
Mm-hmm.
It has really been an erratic year watching them play. And I know it's hard to, you know, maintain that consistency week in, week in. Even the Baltimore Ravens, who I know are 5-1, and there's, if we want to go back to a second, I have an amazing stat for you in terms of their defense. This has been a hard-to-grasp year. Wasn't last year supposed to be the weird year with the lockout?
Thought so.
Okay, well, maybe everybody had too much time on their hands this year.
And then are the Giants as good as they looked against San Francisco?
Well, I guess when they're in the mood to be.
Yeah.
They're another team.
Schizo team, yeah.
Yeah, they're another team that you can't tell. And look who they're playing this week.
Yeah, yeah.
The team that swept them last year when
right.
they were 5-11. I mean, people forget that the Redskins only won 5 games last year and 2 were against
the Giants. 2 against the Giants, right.
And remember, you know, after the Giants went to their midseason swoon last year and then beat Dallas in that great Sunday night game, they came home and lost to the Redskins and Eli threw 3 interceptions. Then, of course, they didn't lose the game the rest of the year. They beat the Jets and the Cowboys to close out the season, and then, of course, went on the Super Bowl run. But that Redskin defense gave Eli Manning a lot of problems this year. Now the Redskins are more of a offensively-minded club, at least improved offensively, and their defense hasn't been what it was a year ago. Here is, though, one of my favorite stats of the week. And listen, I'm only bringing this up because it's just it's a more funny than it is significant. Robert Griffin III, 379 yards rushing in 6 games and 6 touchdowns. Eli Manning rushing, Mr. Blutowski, 0.0. He has exactly 0 yards rushing this year.
Wow.
Which I just think is funny. That's not a criticism. Obviously, it's not a criticism. But when you see 379-0, I mean, that's like a Harlem Globetrotters game, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, that's an awesome job by you pulling out the Animal House reference.
Oh, thank you. You can never go wrong. Pre-law, pre-med, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. All right, so let's hit the Patriots and the Jets now. And I have to admit, this is a bizarro week for me. It doesn't seem like Pat's Jets because we started the week out where I thought Rex Ryan was going to pick us all up, you know, after the depression over the Seattle game by saying, I want them to know and they know that I think we're going to beat them. And I'm like, all right, yeah, we got the old Rex. And then they start talking about, well, we really respect Bill Belichick. He's a great coach. I think he's a better coach than I am. And I'm like, And then Antonio Cromartie calls the Patriots the next America's team. What? And just a couple of years ago that he called Tom Brady an a-hole. So I'm like, okay, is this a little reverse psychology here by the Jets, thinking that if they heap praise on the Patriots that they might actually win one?
Well, don't forget, America does start with A. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
But wait a minute. Early in the week, we also did hear Rex Ryan felt that he that they were going to beat the Patriots.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay,
he did
so,
say that,
I mean,
right. Yeah, he did
we
say
might
that.
Have got, we might have got a little Sanka from Rex.
Okay.
But I think we did get, you know, the 100% Colombian coffee as well. Okay? So this is such an intriguing game. You know, the Jets have been, I don't know if I want to say a thorn in the side, because they have beaten the Patriots on occasion, and it seems like when they've done it, you know, it's in a playoff game like they did up in Foxborough a month after they lost 45-3. Of course, last year they got swept. And I love to point out this stat. You know, Rex Ryan's teams, you know, pretty defense and obviously a little off on their defense last year. And also last year you had to look at some scores a little differently, John, because they had so many turnovers that got returned against them for touchdowns. I think it was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not lost on the fact that Rex Ryan, including the playoffs, has been the head coach of the New York Jets for 60 games. And in only 12 of them has his team given up at least 30 points.
Wow.
That's 20%. That's not shabby.
No, it's not. He's a good defensive coach.
Yes. But 4 of the 12 belong to New England.
Aha! Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting point.
It is.
So we've seen the 45. We saw, in fact, last year, they hung 30 on them twice, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm,
what,
sure.
30-21, 37-16.
Correct.
That game on a Sunday night at the Meadowlands last year was a bizarro world
that
game.
That was a shocker, yeah.
Yeah,
I was there
so that
for
was
that,
just
yeah.
an odd game, and I think that really kind of – I don't think the Jets ever really, really forgot that. So I think they come in here probably with a little more confidence, and but I think the Patriots come in here knowing that they have more ways to score points than the Jets do. I mean, I think that's simply put. Now, are we ready to see ground and pound like we finally did with the Jets last week? The Jets, who went 4 straight games without getting 100 yards rushing, and then they get 252 against the Colts. So that's what they would have to do against New England. I don't know if you're capable of doing that against New England now. Now, could you throw the ball against New England? Yes, it would be help if you had some healthy bodies. It's not what the Jets are built to do. What Sanchez, I think, threw only 82 yards last week.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with that. It just sometimes depends on matchups. And I'm just going to be curious to see if this Jet team can keep pace. I think I would probably have to see the Patriots turn it over 3 or 4 times. Now, I will also say this. It sounds like I'm saying the exact same thing that I get against Seattle
mm-hmm.
last week.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Seahawks going to manufacture points? And it's so
throw it long and deep and hope for a jump ball or a receiver to get crashed into by a DB.
It's possible. And here's what we know. The Patriots have been one way or the other. They've won 3 games this year by 55. And as we mentioned, or you mentioned,
yeah,
lost 3 games by 4 points.
Right.
And it's funny. You know, it's funny, and I say this just to put things in perspective. I heard a lot of people bringing that up. Well, I mean, you know, as if the Patriots had fallen to 4th in the BCS ranking and stuff. But I like to also remind people is they also won 3 Super Bowls by 9 points.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, a win is a win. Okay? You don't get – in the NFL, they don't put extra asterisks next to you because they only lost 3 by 4 points. But, again, not to belabor the point, I'll stick with the same philosophy I thought last week. Even more so in the Jets' case, because unless they get some big plays from unexpected places, I don't know how they expect to keep pace with the Patriots. Even if the Patriots only score 23, I still think the Jets are hard-pressed to do that because I don't think they'll be able to control the clock against New England like they did against the Colts last week.
Okay, fair enough. I'll keep that in mind. I got to see it to believe it, as far as the Patriots and the secondary, even Sanchez, have some struggles. But I also expect to see Tim Tebow out there at some point in the game on Sunday. I do expect it.
Well, if the Patriots get back to running the ball like they did against Buffalo and like they did against Denver, I will say this: the Jets will be very hard pressed to stop that. I think one of the big reasons, and we mentioned about the Jets running last week, John. You know, Indy doesn't really have a running game. And, you know, they've actually not had a running game for a couple of years, and they don't have one again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams have had a lot of success running the ball against the Jets. But I don't think they've really ever posed a threat. If we see the Patriots come out with that game plan like they did a couple of weeks ago, against it when they ran for the 200-plus in back-to-back weeks. Could be a very, very long day for the Jets.
Fair enough. Russell, as always, it's good to talk to you. We'll check in with you again next week, my friend.
I'm going to work on some slap shot and
get ready for hockey season coming.
Caddyshack references for next week's show.
Sounds like a plan.
You got it.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Talk to you. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts. He joins us here in the Playbook every Thursday. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we're going to come back with more of your predictions. If you haven't had a chance to get your prediction in on the game for Sunday, now is the time. Web radio at Patriots.com. Send me a Facebook note as well to John.Rook on Facebook or at JRook0722 on Twitter. The Ace Ticket Hotline is also open and available, 508-298-0398. What say you, Pats fans? Coming up in the Playbook.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of MeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
and 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
All right, you got the show now. Who's going to win it on Sunday? Pats, Jets, I think I know which way you're going. But I want to hear some reasons why, because I'm the only one that's saying I think it's going to be a struggle. Everybody else seems to think it's going to be a downright big defeat for the New York Jets on Sunday. Axel on Facebook says, John, Eric, Kevin in the booth. First, I'd like to say that I don't understand why you Americans think that we Swedes are laid back. I'm thinking of Big Al's call this past Tuesday. And before I move on, I would like to ask you if you could tell Mr. Kirsch that the girls here unfortunately don't run around topless all the time.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff Ices? Oh, yeah!
Do you guys drink Smirnoff Ices, Axel? I guess I should ask that question. that's a great cut. He says, my prediction is Jets 13, Patriots 35. Brady is mad after the Seahawks corner talked smack to him, and now Brady wants to put up a big performance against the bleeping Jets. The defense will try to redeem themselves and will be pretty successful doing that. Game will remind us all of the 2010 game that they won against the Jets, but the Pats will not lose in the divisional round of the playoffs. All right. Thank you, Axel. Frank, also on Facebook, says 45-13 Patriots. Tom evenly distributes the ball with a two-touchdown day for Ridley. Defense plays strong, only one deep, a ball from Manning for a touchdown. Other than that, they will never see the red zone. He says, they know we're going to be coming strong coming off the loss last week. Doubt they want to provide extra focus. Talking about the Jets here. I think the curve has already been tossed with the almost mature actions by the Jets thus far. I fear this is a game. The Jets quietly come together as a team. The Pats need to be mistake-free and go for the kill. And by the way, as Tom lost his touch reference earlier in the show, he says, Tom is still Midas. He's stuck with a court who just hasn't yet understood his gift and how to use it. All right. That's actually as good an analogy as I have heard today. So I give you credit for that, Frank. But I don't know how you can be Midas unless you have subjects that you can, you know, put the smackdown on, so to speak. He hasn't done yet this year, and that's why I kind of asked the question to begin with today, is he kind of lost his touch. Are you concerned that maybe he's lost his touch? Joe in Michigan. John, tough loss this past week. Obviously, my 28-16 prediction was wrong. On to the Jets game now. I think the Patriots come out firing this week. By the way, let me just say that Joe in Michigan is one of the few people who sends us notes every week that always reminds us what his prediction was the previous week, which is great. But what I really like about Joe is the fact that even when he screws up, he's still sending the prediction. So here's a guy that doesn't mind admitting he's wrong and stands by it. And Joe, I give you a ton of credit for that, brother. I was wrong. 28-16. I was wrong. That's good. I like that. He says, this week, though, the Jets don't stand a chance. Patriots win 49-17. Brady throws 5 touchdowns, 1 each to Welker, Lloyd, Gronk, Hernandez, Woodhead. That's spreading it around. Ridley runs one in for a score. Chandler Jones gets a strip sack. gets picked up, returned for a score late in the game. Game isn't even close at all from the beginning to the end. I hope it goes this way and hope to hear your thoughts. All right. You've had my thoughts already. How about the thoughts of one Kat in Chicago? Hi, Kat.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm driving in Michigan right now, so if I cut out, I apologize.
No worries. Stay safe in traffic.
Oh, I will. So I wanted to address your Brady point earlier.
Yep.
I don't think he's lost any magic or anything like that. If what you want to call their Super Bowl runs is magic, I think it's the same. Sorry. My car's talking to me.
I like it.
I think what's different is the receivers. If you think about Givens and Brown, you wouldn't call them great receivers in terms of, they're not going to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
They're the Patriots Hall of Fame maybe, but they're not Hall of Fame guys. What they were is consistent. And he can count on them the way that he can count on Welker, but the way that he can't thus far has not been able to count on Lloyd or Gronkowski or Hernandez. And that's the difference, I think.
Okay.
Is that in crunch time, when the game is on the line, he knew that he could throw to those guys and they would catch it and that they could come up with a big play. And there have been a number of drops this year. So I think that's the difference, that and the offensive line.
All right, I think that's a great point about the receivers, that he doesn't seem to have the confidence yet that he's had in his core in the past. That's a good point.
I also think that I know a lot of people have been saying they think Soldier's been playing very well and the offensive line has been playing great, but I'm not so sure that – I don't think Soldier's played that well. I think he's played okay, but the spin move really throws him. Anybody who's got a good spin move, he ends up on his butt. So I think that definitely helps slow things down too.
Good observation. Very good observation. Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why he's got the dip and duck thing going on, because he's just not entirely solid with the guys blocking in front of him. And I think that has probably more to do than everything else, although I like your point about the receivers. And again, this is something that's still going to take some time. It doesn't mean he can't get it back, but when it's this obvious in front of you, I mean, you're 0-3. You've lost these three games by, a minuscule amount of points. And these are games that they're frankly in the past, Kat, this as well as anybody. These are games in the past that you win these slam dunk. I mean, Brady needs a field goal. He's got to drive 30 yards to get in field goal position, slam dunk. And it hasn't happened. And it hasn't happened for various reasons. So it begs the question, can they kind of regain that touch? At some point in time, you have to stand up and say, all right, it stops here. Somebody has to make a play. And this is what it's all about on both sides of the ball. Defense, you got to have playmakers. You don't really have one, maybe the exception of Spikes right now. You need to have one in the secondary, and that clearly is a glaring need. On offense, somebody else has to make a play besides Brady, besides Welker.
Right. Yep, I totally agree.
And if you can do that, if you have somebody that can make a play, Brady's going to be more confident in his ability to pitch a team downfield when he needs to do it in crunch time.
Right. Well, if he can stand in the pocket and he can throw short passes and he can, if he's got options and he knows that people are going to catch the ball, he will stand in that pocket
and
he will execute the way he has in the past.
Right.
Right now, he's not getting that from anybody. So
yeah. Good points.
I don't think we can criticize him for it.
Okay. Very good points by you. Thank you. All right, be safe out there, will you?
I will, thanks.
I'm glad.
Oh, by the way,
yeah, go.
Patriots win 35-21.
All right, so you have two touchdowns.
I do.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you, Kat.
Let's hope for it.
Yeah, well, we all hope for that as a fan anyway. Thanks, Kat. Appreciate that. Mary Beth sends in her prediction: Patriots 31, Jets 20. Seem to be right at about the consensus, I think, about 31-20. Daryl says, John, everyone seems to be talking about the team's inability to close out games, especially when they have had a lead late. And although I've heard a lot of talk about Brady post-ACL tear not having the same mojo, I'm more inclined to believe that it's the other major thing that happened after the 08 season that's more to blame here. That thing being the changing of the guard on defense. If we remember the championship years, we remember Brady's clutchness, of course, but do we also remember that back in those days, we used to know that no matter what, our defense would make a play when needed? We're starting to see signs of that again. But if we're talking about the post 08 late game struggles, I think it has less to do with 12 and more to do with the loss of numbers 54, 37, 93, 24, and so forth. And an excellent point again by you, Darryl. Maybe the clutchness is gone because the ability to believe in the defense to make a play when you need it isn't there either. Good points. Good points. Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia. I don't have a lot of time because we're busy at the office today. Aren't we all, Josh? But I will make the pick. It's my birthday on Monday. All I want is for the Patriots to win it on Sunday. I don't expect the game to be that sexy, but as it sometimes is with birthday poon, I'm sure that it will be too intoxicated to care. Okay. I'm going to call it Pats win 30-27. I think the Jets are going to come in here hungry, prepared to try to take the division, but the Patriots must be able to run the football and give them a better shot at the pass in the fourth and not self-destruct. And also, for argument's sake, if they do use Tim Tebow at the pass, he'd better be better off lining up as a tight end. Thank you, Josh. Next up, long one here from Blake, but let's see if I can get to the crux of the matter here. I don't think I can overstate how important this game is for our beloved Patriots. Here are some of the things I think I need to see from Tom Brady and the coaching staff. Killer instinct. That's number one. As maligned as our defense has been in our last three losses, my biggest problem is with the offense. Where is the urgency? And how do we do that? Balance in the play calling. Okay, we're 3-0 in games where we rush more than we throw, 0-3 in the remainder. As to the Tom Brady question, yes, this last week he made some mistakes. You can't deny that. But Tom can make the throws and complete them if receivers like Hernandez can catch. Tom Brady's getting older. He's not as mobile, but he's far from losing his spot as one of the top two quarterbacks in the league. I'd take him over either Rodgers or Brees any day. He is clutch, but football's a team game, and he's never won a game by himself. Okay, Blake, good points. Mike in Florida, Canadian Mike in Florida. The offensive line is the key to the Pats' success. Brady is still the same. Brady, three losses by 4 points is not a great pattern, but I would be concerned if we got blown out. I think we need to focus on what the Pats will be, not what they are right now. Perhaps the Pats think the Giants' pattern of struggling through the season and getting and gelling at the right time is the way to go. Just kidding, of course, but the season could morph into that scenario. Having said that, Pats 42, Jets 10. Ooh. Tony in Toronto. Maybe it's because I'm from Toronto and my beloved Maple Leafs are perennial losers in the NHL, that my tolerance for teams up and downs is greater than most, but this questioning of Brady's skills and resolve has me stunned. Bring on Ryan Mallett. No, he's just kidding. For once, I agree with Eldridge, caller earlier. He says, if other players make catches in these games, we're not talking about this. He says, I need to turn the computer off. Eesh. Hope you didn't, Tony, before we got your email read. Bruce in Baltimore, I think this is a statement game. Both teams have something to prove. The NFL will get to see what Rex has in store with Tebow, what Belichick is planning with the new up-tempo wrinkle in the offense. Both have been tinkering with it quietly. I think they plan to unleash it on each other Sunday. That said, I think the will and the skill of this Patriots team is superior. Unfortunately, the Jets will score, but not enough. Patriots 35-20. No field goals. And by the way, that nagging feeling is common with 30-plus-year Patriots fans. There were a lot of letdowns before Belichick and Brady have programmed us. Good points. I agree with that. And Big Daddy, I wrote in earlier this year as the Chiefs fan that has witnessed many declines and told you and your listeners to enjoy this last year of greatness from the Patriots. It's not that you have a bad team. It's just that Bostonites are so spoiled with regards to sporting greatness that when ordinary happens, it's viewed as Armageddon. Brady is still top three in the league, and to question his magic as it is crazy. I wish Kansas City had his kind of magic. Just relax, calm down, enjoy the playoffs with your 11-5 record. That's what Big Daddy says. And by the way, he says Patriots win it Sunday 28-10. Thanks, everybody, for taking part. As always, same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday as the Patriots come back in. And next Tuesday. Oh, yeah, they got to get ready for the trip to London. How soon we forget, right? St. Louis Rams playing in London. So we'll get that off on the table next week. Football Nation is coming up. Thanks to Russell. Thanks to Eric. Thanks to you. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.